Are you ready to have an intelligent, no BS discussion about social justice issues in America and around the world? Then join us for another episode of The First Shot with your host, Nick Brannigan. Let's get started.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another installment, another episode of The First Shot Roundtable Discussion. Today, I'm joined by our regulars, Polly and Austin, but also we've brought back a guest, Andrea McHugh. She's back. Just a little background on her once again. Andrea is an author and a screenwriter. She has 10 years in the industry, and she currently runs a website, and it is for the Record, correct?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. That's right. So Andrea, go ahead and give them the address to your blog.
So it's A for my first name, Andrea, and then it's McHugh, McHugh.com.
Okay. So yes, yeah, so I didn't have that in front of me, so I'm not prepared. but listen, everybody. So welcome again to another episode. So the crew here, we are going to have a discussion about an incident in history that really has not been taught in schools, and it's obvious as to why it has not been taught in schools. And I'm excited. I'm so excited. I have not discussed it with this panel today. They are going to be taken off guard, kind of, because I'm going to put it out there, and we're going to have a discussion about it, and then an intelligent and educated discussion about something that makes me kind of all giddy inside, because it's like, yeah. But all right. But before we begin, again, as a disclaimer for anyone listening to this podcast, we do talk about some serious issues involving racism, social justice, and so on. We all have thick skin on this show. If you don't have thick skin, if you can't take constructive criticism or constructive feedback, because the only way we're going to be able to move forward with any of these topics is to learn from one another and work together as a cohesive unit. That's the only way that this is going to work. So with that being said, if you don't have the thick skin, which I know my listeners do, I know you guys do, but if you're new to the show, you might want to skip this episode, possibly. Because I don't like offending anybody, but quite frankly, it's not really offending you. It's the truth. If I'm giving you the information, I'm backing it up with the fact that you can go and research yourself and do your own due diligence to find out what we're talking about. And like today's episode, we're going to talk just about something you can actually look up for yourself. So guys, are you ready?
I am ready.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Here we go. All right. So today, old Nick's going to throw this one at you. It's called the Battle of Hayes Pond, H-A-Y-E-S, Pond. Has anybody, not just it's called the Battle of Hayes Pond, it's also been referred to as the Maxton, M-A-X-T-O-N, Riot. Has any of you heard of this before?
No.
No.
No, I haven't.
Aha. All right, so this is why I'm all giddy about it. So let me just give you an overview of what happened. So the Battle of Hayes Pond, or Maxton Riot, was an armed confrontation between members of the Ku Klux Klan and the Lumbee Native American tribe at a Klan rally near Maxton, North Carolina. Uh-oh, we have some people in North Carolina we know. On the night of January 18th, 1958. So the Grand Dragon for that area, I think he controlled both the North and South Carolina Klan chapter. Was James W. Catfish Cole, who was the organizer of the Klan rally. Now, Sanford Locklear and Simeon Oxendine and Neil Lowry were leaders of the Lumbee tribe who attacked the Klansmen and successfully disrupted the rally. So, this is why I said, this is one of those things that is not taught in school. Remember we talked last episode, and for our listeners that are back again, Polly had mentioned about, you know, living in the South and talking about the Civil War and everything. And what did you say about that, Polly? What did they teach you?
What, in the Civil War, about the Civil War in the South? Yeah. Basically, yeah. Glamorized it. They were like, we fought because we wanted to keep our rights and stuff, and yeah.
Yeah, but this is beautiful right here. But did you never heard of the Battle of Hayes Pond or the Maxton Riot?
No, not at all.
And why would that be? Because the Klan got their ass handed to them. Ha. So so let me give you an overview as to what happened. All right, so in this is going to be the Cliff Notes version, and Andrea, you know, you can help me out here if I miss anything with my grammar or my pronunciations.
Oh, believe me, I probably would butcher it worse than you, honestly.
Because I know you've been doing some recent writing, and I haven't. But no, but seriously, here's an overview. So basically what happened is this jackass, this James W. Catfish Cole, okay, the grand poobah over there, okay, freaking the head water buffalo. Uh-huh. So he decides to, he's going to piss off. Okay, so he's going to, let me see if I can actually, yeah, okay, I'm not going to tell you that, so just yet. So basically, he decides to go after the Lumbee tribe that's in that area, North Carolina. Uh-huh. So in doing so, he says, well, boys, we're going to have ourselves a good old cross burning. We're going to scare the hell out of them mongrels. That's actually what was said. And believe it or not, you guys can actually do your own research on this. Not you guys, but our listeners, excuse me. You can do your due diligence on this and look this up, because they actually had a damn poster made up about what the hell they were going to do. So this kills me. This is what kills me about it. This shows the intelligence level. Okay, so we put this poster up. It says we're going to have this cross burning here, this, that, and the other. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, they were doing it on the property of a woman who is a member of the Lumbee tribe, excuse me, to scare the hell out of her. We can scare the shit out of her. Okay, so okay, smart move, right? So anyway, put this stuff up. So this tool. You know, he thinks, oh, well, we'll get this going and all that stuff. So he puts this up. So before, I think it was like the day before or the day of the cross burning, because that's going to be that evening. That was on, that was on, I want to give you guys the date. That was
January 18th, 1958. Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm looking it up. Sorry.
Okay. One of you guys can probably share the link.
Yeah, actually, just put the Battle of Hayes Pond into Google search, and it'll pull up so many different things. I looked through Wikipedia, but actually, I watched an episode of this dude that does his history for the South on YouTube, and this is how I became aware of it. And he went really in depth. But all that information he put, because I fact checked it before I say, well, I'm going to believe this. Mm-hmm. It's all here, so you can find it on the internet. But the best part about this is this. So this tool is going to do this. The sheriff, now mind you, now okay, dig this one, Austin. Dig
okay.
This. The sheriff tells the Klan dude, he's like, "Hey, bro, I don't think you want to do this." So, and this is the funny thing, because think about it. This is the South, and usually law enforcement was on the side of the Klan. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But in this instance, he said, "Bro, I don't think you want to do this." And he goes, "Well, no, we ain't scared. We'll handle it. We're going to take all that bullshit, right?" So that night they go and they start setting up the crosses to burn. And the dude, you know, this Catfish Cole, he's setting up the podium, and he has a little light that he puts, right? So check this out. So it's about 50 to 100 Klansmen show up. We'll go on the lesser side. I think it was really more about 50. They show up while this is being set up and everything, and they bring their wives and children. Okay, so this is the other thing too, which is a whole nother discussion of how they pass this bullshit through generations. Okay, so with that being said, they all show up, they're setting up. Guess what happens?
What?
Go ahead. I want you to guess.
Oh.
Lumbee tribe. Okay, so these cats. Go ahead. Go. You gotta say something. I'm sorry. because I'm so excited. It's like
Christmas. They got their like asses handed Christmas. To them.
Well, not yet. Not yet. I got to tell you how we have this. So wait.
They had spears. I don't
no,
know.
No.
How stereotypical can we get?
Did they have guns?
I'm not getting any stereotypical. I'm not doing this.
See, Andrea gets the pass because she has that in her blood lineage, and she can say, you know, this, that, and the other, but it's still not cool, Andrea.
You're right. I apologize. That was bad form.
So no. So check this out. So and let me actually give you a little background before I tell you what happens, because you have to have the big picture, and that's another thing, folks. We have to have the complete picture before we can make judgment.
Right.
Well, the names I mentioned earlier from the Lumbee tribe, let me pull them up, and that was Sanford Locklear, Simeon Oxendine, and Neil Lowry. They were leaders of the Lumbee tribe, and on top of that, not just they were leaders of the Lumbee tribe, they were all World War II veterans. They fought in World War II. One of them actually he was in the Air Force. He was on a bomber, and they bombed the shit out of Germany or whatever. But they're all hardened combat vets. And when they had heard this, when they had heard about the flyers being put up, this, that, and the other. So let me give you their side before we get into the actual issue or the incident, excuse me. You know, that Sanford, if I'm not mistaken, it was Sanford or Simeon. I think it was Simeon, but had said, I don't give a damn. This isn't going to happen. So he was asked by, I don't know who the hell asked him or whatever, within the town, or had said, you know, well, what do you think about this? And he goes, well, we'll just see what happens. So that's the best damn answer. It's not like I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, this, that, or this is what we want to do. No, we'll see what happens. How ominous was that?
Well, I mean, I like that he just was like, oh, I mean, really, because what can you do? You've already said, I'm not so sure you want to be doing that. And they're already well, I'm not worried about it. So you're like, okay, well, I tried to warn you.
Yeah. Well, remember, that was the sheriff telling old James Catfish Cole here, you shouldn't be doing that. Remember that.
Right.
So now this is the leader of the Lumbee tribe. And when they ask him, they sit there and he sits there and says, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. So
that's confidence.
Well, dude, I mean, look at it this way. You have, first of all, and Austin can, I mean, well, I'm sure, I don't remember if you have, do you have World War II vets in your family, Polly?
Yes.
Okay. And they're usually our grandfathers, you know, mm-hmm. And there's some hardened cats, man. They don't play games. They went through hell and back, you know, some of them, you know, that were in the fight, that seen combat, and they've seen some stuff that human beings shouldn't witness. But in this instance, let's take that and move it back to civilian life now. And Austin, you can identify with this.
Yes.
When, you know, they're coming back, and now here comes these fools in sheets. Trying to, ooh, ooga booga booga, we're going to scare you away, all this bullshit. And he said, sure, bring that, because I've already had a German shooting at me. I've had people throwing bombs at me and dropping bombs on me and freaking throwing grenades at me. This, a dude in a sheet with freaking burning across, it's a walk in the park. So anyway, so now let's move forward to that night of January 18th, 1958. So, as I said earlier, they were setting up and between, let's just say, 50 to 100 Klansmen are there. But I think the 100 they're saying is including the women and children, the wives and the children of these clowns. And they're setting up. So here comes the Lumbee tribe. Approximately 200 of them. This is where it gets good. So these guys are in the middle of the field setting up, you know, doing all that, and ain't nobody gonna be having sex with my sister other than me. So, and all that stuff, right? But they're surrounded now. They actually become surrounded by men of the Lumbee tribe who are holding guns and rocks and baseball bats or whatever, and sticks, whatever. They are there for a fight. Okay? So, remember, before the confrontation, a defiant Cole called the Lumbee tribe lawless mongrels. Okay? Now, what happens is that I'm almost certain, and if, correct me if I'm wrong, someone can correct me, but it's one of them. It's either Sanford or Simeon. I think it's Simeon that actually shot out that light that James Cole had put up. He actually, you know, while they're standing there yapping, he just sat there and shot the damn thing out. So I don't know what that tells you more. So we're not here to talk. Bullets are flying.
Right.
I'm just tickled pink. This is so awesome. Like, because it's like, you know, I'm like, it kills me because right now with the current movement, you know, people that are on the other side, they want everybody, you know, they're going to do stuff like this, you know, they're going to do something to, you know, rob us or break into our businesses or anything. These people didn't do any of that. They said, mm-hmm. We're standing up for what we believe in and you know, this, that, and the other. So let me finish. So what happens is actually a shootout ensues and a few people, you know, a few Klansmen were hit. And so check this out. They said that Klansmen were running and they left their wives and children to fend for themselves.
Oh, that's horrible.
No way.
Yeah. Because listen, really? Yeah. Legends. Because that dude.
Fathers of the year right there.
Exactly.
So, I mean, at least they didn't pick him up and use him as shields.
No.
It could have been worse, Junior. Maybe. Right?
Come here, Junior. Oh, I tell you, I'm like so happy. So they left, they running, and that dude, this James Catfish Cole jackass, he left his, well, I'm sorry, he's doing whatever the hell he's doing. His wife and kids take off and get in the car and they're speeding away. She drives like a maniac and winds up getting stuck in a ditch. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the decent human beings that are of the Lumbee tribe, they actually helped her get her car out of the ditch and helped her go home. Thank you.
Huh.
Thank you.
Right?
They didn't do a damn thing to her. They helped her leave.
Mm-hmm.
So the moral of the story is, too, ever since this incident on January 18th, 1958, the Ku Klux Klan has never, ever shown their face or had a rally there again. I wonder why.
Because they're not stupid. I mean, they're stupid, but they're not stupid. They're ignorant, but not stupid.
Okay, so now this is today's subject, okay? This is what we're going to talk about today. And I've run my mouth long enough, too damn long. I want you all to chime in. So let's start off first with Andrea. What are your initial thoughts about what happened at Maxton, North Carolina?
Basically, it's a lot of, so it's probably going around, obviously, on their tribal land or wherever they're at. Hey, so these idiots think they're going to be badass, you know, in exact words like that, because it was totally 2000s. Anyways. So, hey, these guys are going to be coming and they're looking to start a fight. So mm-hmm. We should rally up and let them know that they can look for a fight if they really want it, but they're not going to win. Mm-hmm. It says a lot about a group of people, men, that are willing to quite literally abandon the lineage of their, whatever you want to call it, their belief system, quite literally leaving them there in the balance because, oh no, we bit off more than we could chew. Quick, everybody run away. Like, that's just the stupidity at its finest.
It is. But I did leave one part out too, because that dude, the Grand Poobah, he was angry and was actually noted for saying, because law enforcement didn't intervene.
Well, yeah.
They didn't help out. So
they were way outnumbered. They probably were like, I'm just going to just let this have this. We're all going to die otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's beautiful. It's right. Absolutely beautiful. But anyway, moving on. So, Polly, what are your thoughts about the Battle of Hayes Pond?
My thoughts about it is pretty simple. It shows exactly how coward anyone that ever participated in, that ever looked up to or wanted to participate in the KKK is. Mm-hmm. They love to be big bullies. Because they have this entitlement of, well, they can't fight back. But when someone actually fights back, then they run with their tail between their legs. Leaving the leaving the children and the women part is
classic.
I was like, what? Legendary. What? You leave your women, you leave your wives and your children because of something you started. Like, you're dumb. That's I can't even say anything like intelligent big brain stuff because it's just it's I don't know.
The stupidity, the amount of stupidity boggles the mind.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yes. That's it.
Come on, man, run, run. They got guns.
If only they would have listened to the sheriff, the whole thing could have been avoided.
Well, yes and no. Well, hold on a second. Think about it for a second. You're right in that sense that it could have been avoided. But you know what? It needed to happen.
Yeah, I agree.
This needed to happen because this now you show other people that people aren't going to take your bullshit. I don't. You know, you can spew all. You know, the First Amendment. Yes, you can sit there and spew all your crap all you want. But when you're going to sit there and act on it, well, surprise. Surprise, their right. People aren't going to take it, you know. So, but moving on, so real quick, because I want to keep on going with this one. But Austin, what are your thoughts about the Battle of Hayes Pond?
Well, for starters, let's just get in the mindset of the KKK, right? If most of this, you know, the police force is on my side and they say, hey, bro, don't go in there, I'm not going in there. I'm not about to lose. Second off, they showed their true colors. Well, they've always shown their true colors, but how they are as people by leaving their wives and children. So that's another thing. Kudos to people for standing their ground.
Correct. Columbia track.
Because anything could happen to them, but they did their thing. But, you know, this is just another one of the reasons why the KKK is trash.
Yeah. A bunch of cowards under white sheets. That's call it what it is.
Exactly.
You know, no, but yeah, I mean, Austin's right. You're all correct and on point with this. The one thing too that we were talking about earlier, you know, and I mentioned how Holly had said in the last episode about learning about the Civil War and this, that in school. Again, none of us, there are four of us on this podcast, never ever heard about this in school. Right?
Correct.
Well, yeah. History is written by the victors.
Correct. And but
if they don't want you knowing something, they're going to take it out of a history book.
Absolutely. Selective learning.
Right?
It's almost like selective listening.
Yep. My kids are good at selective listening.
I was gonna say that. Yeah, kids do that, you know, up to a certain age, because after a certain age, they become accountable.
Yeah, for sure.
You start taking.
I don't know. No. Adults do it too. I can't.
Well, that's
I can't agree
too.
With that statement, Nick.
Yeah, no, he corrected me.
I reviewed that statement.
Yeah, he corrected me. There are some adults we've seen on the news that they don't want to listen.
There's adults that don't. So. A lot of adults, though, someone will say something and then they'll disagree, and then the other person will come back and say, why you don't disagree because of this? And then they try to explain why they're wrong, and they're like, nope, my ideology is correct, even if you explain to me why it's wrong, because I believed it for this long, I can't be wrong.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I must be right because I'm me.
I must be right because I've believed this for so long and my mom said it was right. No, your mom's that's a piece right. of shit too, dude.
I love when they always say, well, my parents taught me like this. You ever considered that your parents are dumb too? I don't know.
My mama told me that the medulla oblongata is on the crocodile.
The medulla oblongata is why the alligator's mad. And she showed me her boobies, and I like them too.
Devils.
You don't play that foosball. That's the devil. That's the devil.
That's the devil's work.
That's the devil's work right there. That girl is the devil.
I love that movie. Now I want to watch that movie.
I know, right? I love that. Waterboy. All right. So here's the deal. So yes, they didn't teach that in school and it's obvious. They didn't teach it. They don't make it public. Like, you know, hey, let's put it out there. Hey, Native Americans, people who were screwed horribly out of this whole deal, stood up for themselves and were willing to die for it. That's the message here. Those men, when they grabbed their sticks and rocks and firearms to go down there, they knew, you know, in the back of their mind, they could die. One of them could die, or that one person could die, whatever. But they were willing to fight for it. And that's what I think that is lost today.
But can I also add that not only were they willing to fight for it, they didn't lose their morals because they knew what they were fighting against. It wasn't the women and the children. It was the ignorant people that wanted to have some sort of fake power that they made up in their head. Mm-hmm. They were able to put down their stuff and help the women and the children that had nothing to do with it perfectly fine without trying to just attack them. Because I could say that the Ku Klux, the KKK wouldn't have done that.
No, hell no. They're cowards. They go after soft targets.
Yeah.
No, Polly's spot on. You are spot on because that's right. Remember, he said they were mongrels and savages, right?
Mm-hmm.
And look what they did.
Can I make a TV show reference really quick?
Go ahead.
Okay. So I was just watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. last night, and we got to the part, I don't know if y'all have seen it or how far along you are on it or whatever, but spoiler. One of the guys turns into like this massive supervillain with gravitonium and everything. And it was the whole time he was wanting to get to this gravitonium to save the rest of humanity as he was destroying humanity around him.
Interesting.
So my point with that is people who are obsessed with making things right and fulfilling an image in their head don't think about who they're destroying or who they're hurting. And that's a big thing with the KKK and any extremist group, period, whether it's Al-Qaeda or whatever. They see such a narrow image of what humanity is supposed to be, and that's what they focus on.
Well, she makes a point. Andrea makes a point because I watched a video actually this morning. There was and this is what kills me, a Blue Lives Matter protest. Okay. So, of course, all your police supporters. Okay. And again, not all police are bad, but I'm really sorry. The bad apples outweigh the good ones.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And the thing is that there were, and this was really, it was beautiful, to be honest with you. All the people that were there were white, except for this one black dude. Okay. He was standing off to the side, and it was three, they had to be like college age girls, like young 20s. Okay. They were there for Black Lives Matter, okay? And all three of them were white. And then they're yelling at these white people that are blue lives, this, that, and the other. So these girls are yelling, and the ones in the front, she's videoing while she's talking to them, this, that, and the other. And these people are just spewing shit at her. Okay, just crap, you know, blah, 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 and, you know, all this crap. So she winds up, she was yelling back at them out of the blue. You'll see it because you have to. I might even, if I can find the video, post it. This white lady comes up from behind these other people that were yelling at her. You know, she's on the Blue Lives Matter side. You know, she's on the opposite side. She comes up and grabs the one girl in the front by her neck. This was just glorious because that girl, natural reaction, she freaking cold cocked that woman right in the face.
It was
epic because that woman was stunned and she sat there like she's the victim. You come and you come put your damn hand around my neck like you're gonna do something. You're gonna meet God.
Yeah, exactly.
They always do that. Always. They always want to be, I'm a big bad person, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then soon as you retaliate, like, oh, I can't believe you hit me. I'm going to call the cops. You're going to jail, ma'am. It was self-defense. Like,
exactly.
Right? You put hands on me first.
Well, I mean, Austin, some dude comes up to you and touches you. What's up?
He tells me what's up? Like, just what's
no,
up?
No. What's going to be up when he touches you? What happens?
Oh, an elbow? Or if you hold your hand up. Like the bottom part of your hand where your wrist connects, that's like one of the hardest parts of your hand. So just a face palm.
Absolutely. Yep.
it's military funny. Dude, he's like, nope, right now this is going to be an elbow chuck and then face palm to the nose. There you go.
Like, have y'all seen these videos where when people, these racist people or the Karens or something spit on you?
Oh God! Yeah.
I know that it's not exactly like if a cop comes to me and be like, "Man, why did you beat this woman to a pulp? She spit on me, sir." He probably I would go to jail, but it's cool.
Oh, absolutely!
Because there is no way I am going to allow. I don't want no one's body fluid on me. So if you spit on me and I punch you, I don't want to hear I'm the victim. No, you put your nasty spit on me. I don't know what you got. You're not the victim. I'm going to go to jail, but I'm going to go to jail happy.
With cops, if you spit on a cop, it's actually considered an assault because it's considered biological warfare. So I actually think in most places, and if it's not, it should be. If somebody does spit on you, it is actually an assault.
Hell, in the age of COVID, really? What if they have freaking corona?
Well, they've been like, I've seen articles too about people going and like people all drugged up or whatever, going through their crazy moments, and they're going through like licking vegetables in grocery stores.
Yeah,
to spread the COVID.
No, it's I've like yeah. So, and they've been legitimately getting arrested for creating public nuisance and for endangering people and blah 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 blah. But
exactly,
I think that that would be, honestly, if anybody spits on me, I'm just that would be the first thing I do, be like, yeah, elbow. elbow.
Meet Mr. Elbow and Mr. Palm.
That's right.
Elbow.
That's gonna be like my new favorite term, by the way, elbow.
Elbow. Austin's like smack. Oh, you know what? I used to sit there and say, yeah, I'm not gonna do that because that's just not right. I'm not gonna say it. Anyhow, listen, moving on. So listen, so you guys so this story, and I for me it's empowering. And now you can understand why I was all giddy like a school kid with this.
Oh yeah.
Because this is what I want to hear. Do I want to hear violence? No. I want to hear people, the good people, standing up for their rights as human beings. And that's the way it needs to be. And I'm really sorry. When you have guys with AR-15s and AKs going up to a state capitol and yelling in cops' faces, this, that, and the other, about their rights being trampled on because they can't go to the salon, they can't freaking go to a baseball game, they can't do all this stuff, and they have to wear a mask. That's one. But the worst part about it is, and this is what kills me, is not only were they doing that day, because this was in Michigan, you know that, and everybody's aware of this, but on top of that, they're sitting there saying the governor needs to be lynched and the governor needs to be beheaded. So you have all these armed idiots flying Confederate flags and Nazi flags, because you had the Aryan Nation out there, okay, doing all that, but that's okay. But yet you have black people walking down the street exercising their Second Amendment right, okay, which, you know, again, the Second Amendment doesn't apply to anybody of color. I don't care if you're Hispanic, black, Asian, it don't apply to you. It only applies to the white man. But they were walking down the street exercising there, and that was a problem. Now, we can't have this lawlessness. Really?
Well, the protest is basically you're exercising your First Amendment, and they get tear gas and shot with rubber bullets for that. So,
exactly, and they get shot in the face and lose an eye and stuff like that. This is what, and then you wonder why with police. Okay, I'm just here to state facts. When you have police officers intentionally hurting, intentionally you know, blinding people by shooting these rubber bullets in the face, what do you expect people to feel? What do you expect out of all of this? You've ruined that relationship between the community and law enforcement.
Well, okay. Let's not forget too that, and I don't know if you guys have heard about this, but since I live on the West Coast, up in Portland, we have mercenaries sent in by the president picking black folks up off the streets and not identifying anybody. So, I mean, imagine how that makes people feel.
Well, that was the one. And
Gestapo.
Hold on a second. That's the secret police too.
Yeah.
Because remember, they sent federal agents there, which were actually come to find out they were part of Border Patrol and ICE to go ahead and snatch people up in vans and all this stuff like that. Here's the thing with all of that. Once again, this goes to show, and they were doing it to white people as well.
Yeah, they were doing it to anybody who was just on the street.
Correct. You know, and the sad part about that is again, when does it borderline tyranny, a tyrannical government?
It's already tyranny. We already passed that stage of when does it start?
it was kind of a rhetorical question I was asking.
Sorry.
But, you know, the thing is, no, that's fine. We're all here together in this. But what I'm saying is this, and please, Austin, I want you to jump in. I want to hear your thoughts on this. My issue is again, you have those people doing that, and you saw the videos yourself. You saw the footage, you know, people, these white people in their pickup trucks honking, I want to get my hair done and all this stuff and all this. It's absolute bullshit. And going up to, it's almost baffling. You see, I get kind of like, you know, tongue tied here, because common sense, would I take a weapon and go to the state capitol with said weapon and scream and yell and holler for my demands, all this stuff, and think that anything's going to go well for me? No. I'm sorry. Would anybody on this panel do that? No. Exactly, because common sense rules the roost here.
I would die. World.
We're not angry children. We're adults.
Thank you.
So the problem is...
Yeah, go ahead.
So the same people that were crying about wearing masks and I want my haircut and all this other stuff, and they are 15s and everywhere and saying X, Y, and Z, weren't the people getting gassed. It was the people doing the peaceful protesting and everything and getting rubber bullets. So, which is not equal. Like, if you really want to put your all that militarized police stuff you buy for good use, why you didn't use it against the people that were actually like doing actual threats?
Thank you.
And this, doing all that gassing and rubber bullets is what caused the riots, and then the people who were opportunists diluting.
Yeah. Well, that was the what were they called, the Bugaloos? Bugaloos?
No, the Boogaloo Boys. The Boogaloo Boys. They're out of North Carolina.
Boys. Yeah, that was what they were doing. They were. I mean, because even here on the West Coast, people were like freaking out that the Boogaloo Boys were coming this way and everybody be ready. And nobody ever showed up on our end. But
no, they did. Hold on a second.
Oh, did they?
There was a black federal police officer shot and killed. Wasn't that in California? And come to find out, it was one of the Boogaloo Boys. Because what they were doing, they were disguising themselves as a regular protester, this, that, and the other, and causing these problems. But no, I don't correct. Someone fact check me on that one, because that's what I heard through the grapevine. But
I don't remember hearing anything about somebody getting shot here. But I'll look.
Yeah, it was in California, if I'm not mistaken. I think it was Los Angeles.
I was about to say it could have been down in L.A. because I kind of vaguely remember.
Well, because his sister, because he was a black male, and his sister was on the news, you know, talking about what happened, and he was shot and killed, and he was a federal protection officer. He was a federal police officer. So take a look at that one. But if I'm not mistaken, the guy that they got for is one of the Boogaloo Boys from North Carolina.
No, it says right here, first one. First link, far-right Boogaloo Boys linked to killing of California law officers.
There you go. Bingo. So this is where people, you know, our listeners
here in NorCal.
Oh, okay. So there you go. I knew it was in California. I just didn't know exactly where. But the thing Oakland. Is, everybody listened. Oh, it was Oakland. That's right. That's right. I got it confused. With
yeah, I'm not surprised.
But I'm not neither. But the thing is people need to be educated. You guys need to, not you guys, but our listeners, do your own homework. See, I heard it through the grapevine from, I guess, I would consider reliable sources without even seeing the actual report. But I did see something of his sister talking. But the issue is you're talking about, and all these other idiots are talking about, oh, they're causing damage and all this stuff, because I saw another one today. This is another one I watched today. This guy is a tool. I'm not going to say his name because, you know what, I'm not going to stoop to his level, but he's a tool. He's on YouTube and he has videos. He said something to the effect of, they're right now, because of Antifa and BLM, they are considered by, you know, his people to be domestic terroristic groups, this, that, and the other, that are going to go to neighborhoods. Now, this is, I just want you to think about this. Where in your right mind do you really put together, I live in the suburbs, and all of a sudden a group of people are going to start walking down the street and doing crazy shit? Okay. But this is what he's saying. So there are right now, he can count 500 active militias in the United States that are getting more recruits every day, people joining, that are on Trump's side. 500. This is the scary part.
Yeah, see, what I have heard also through the grapevine and through, I try not to be overly political, but I am very political. I read a lot. I wouldn't be here if I weren't. But you read a lot, and the Boogaloos, the stupidest name ever, the Boogaloos, because they're idiots.
You know where they got it from? You know where they got that from, right?
I have no idea.
Break dancing. It's a movie called Breaking to Electric Boogaloo. Look it up.
Okay. That's what I got.
From a breakdancing movie.
Is that what that is?
Yes. It's 1980s. I actually saw it.
Was it decent moves? Were they able to like jam and stuff? Cool.
Oh, hell yeah. This is like New York
back
style.
Back in my day. Oh,
good.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe I will watch
Austin,
it then.
Austin used to pop rock that shit.
I'm more of a pop, lock it, drop it kind of guy.
Oh.
Mom Polly.
Polly's like, I don't know him.
Polly, you with us?
She's mad because I dance better than her.
Polly. Did she fall asleep?
Uh-oh.
Oh, her mic went out again. I'm sorry. All right, Polly. Gosh, it's always got to be somebody.
We can't just have it. No, but so what I was going to say that they're trying to start a civil war from what?
Yes, you're spot on. They're trying to start a race war from what I've heard that as well. Polly, hey, listen, Polly's having some technical difficulty, folks, so we'll probably have to, you know, end this pretty soon anyhow, and bring her back next one. That's okay, Polly, don't worry about it. Hopefully she might be able to come on here in the next minute. I did see kind of a blip, but anyhow, no, Andrea, you're right. I really believe that as well. They're trying to do a lot of you know, fueling the fire to justify something they can be a part of. And the sad part about it is like what we talked about today, folks, with the Battle of Hayes Pond, which occurred in Maxton, North Carolina. There are people, I don't care if you're Native American, if you're Asian, if you're Black, there are people who are not going to take it. So just keep that in mind. This is not a threat. This is not, you know, I'm not trying to be funny or cute. History shows that oppression, you can only take so much. You can only take so much. And it, whether it's oppression, whether it's being in an abusive relationship. I mean, you know, go back and look. How many women that have been battered, that have been treated worse than a wild animal, have, you know, now one lady lit her husband on fire while he was asleep. Remember that?
Ooh. That's some serious anger.
Yeah, but I mean, but the thing is, they take it. You oppress somebody, or you abuse somebody, or you torture somebody for so long, the human psyche just—I mean, it breaks.
Oh yeah,
and they do crazy stuff. But then again, with the peaceful protests, see, this is like you said, it, Andrea. And Austin, you've said it. The issue is with that is that they started peacefully protesting. And I watched the one video that shows them peacefully protesting. Someone had put water out for these people.
And they destroyed the water bottles.
You saw that? The cops came up and took them.
I watched them do it. And I was yelling at my phone.
But that's the thing. But this is what I'm talking about. So you continuously do this to people who are trying to do the right thing. What the hell do you expect in the end? What do you expect the outcome to be when you push people to the limit? I'm trying to come to you and do the right thing, but you keep treating me like an animal or like a subhuman being. And what do you expect me to do in return? Just sit there and take it?
Yeah.
People need to really have this discussion. Well, Austin's like,
you're supposed to take it because
it's supposed to make you a better person, and you're supposed to step in line with everybody.
We can't become on the same page. Equality is not supposed to happen. I understand you want to be equal, but no. America's the best. X, Y, and Z.
We are the greatest country in the world. Everybody loves us. We are number one with coronavirus right now. We are doing the best because our president says we are.
You know, it's sad. It's so freaking sad that we've gotten this far, but yet we're back 1,000 years, really. You know what I'm saying? And the worst part about it is that it's going to take people like us and people on this show and people who listen to this show to talk about the Battle of Hayes Pond and speak about that with their friends and family and let that just go like wildfire, because it gives hope. And it really truly does, because there are people who are doing that now. They're out there fighting. They're out there. They're not going to take it. And they're seen as the agitators and the thugs when they're exercising their rights to a law-abiding citizens. But because of the color of their skin or their culture or their national origin, they're always in the wrong. Do you guys understand?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, and it's... I had a different thought. I had music playing in my head. I was singing in my head, "We're not gonna take it." And then I totally lost my train of thought. So if I remember it, I'll come back to it.
That's fine. Austin, you were going to say something. I'm sorry.
No, I was agreeing. I was like, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's sad, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to end this here because this is going to end, especially with Polly being gone. Polly, we miss you. We hope
we love you Polly.
We love you guys. And honestly, you know, all joking aside, I appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for being here. And thank you for being a part of this, because this is important. You know, hopefully years from now, we can look back on this and say, you know, it took the good people to say something, to speak up, to put the information out there, to speak against the tyranny and the bigotry and the racism, because it's going to take many voices, not just one, but many, and many standing their ground standing in the face of adversity and tyranny, because that's the one thing too, as we see with the Battle of Hayes Pond or what they call the Maxton Riot, by standing up to them and taking action, it scared the bejesus out of them and it sent them packing. So this is what we have to do when you run into a Karen, when you run into a Kevin or whatever, when you run into these people that want to sit there and intimidate you or try to scare you because, you know, they want to make you think you're subhuman or you're beneath them. When you stand toe to toe with them, nose to nose, a good amount of the time, unless they're just stupid, because there are ones that are bold, but that boldness, that courage is from stupidity.
Mm-hmm.
They will back down. And the Battle of Hayes Pond shows that. It shows that they ran and left their damn own blood sitting there. You guys fend for yourself. I'm out.
Peace.
You know?
Deuces.
Oh, she said deuces.
She said bye.
Like they saw a ghost. I'm out. Oh, I love it. But listen, everybody, listen, thank you guys for being on this episode. And also thank you, our listeners, for supporting the show, supporting the podcast. We truly appreciate you. I appreciate you. Stay safe out there. We always love feedback, positive and negative. You know, if you got something to say, say it. We can have an intelligent discussion about it. We can agree to disagree at the end if we can't come to a mutual a middle road. But at the end of the day, you can get us on firstshotpod.com. You can get us on Facebook. You can reach us on Instagram at the First Shot. You can also reach us on Twitter. Also, we are on all the platforms, Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio. We're on all the podcast platforms. So make sure that you tune in. Tell your friends and family. Also, just support us. That's the only thing I ask of you, is that I bring these stories to you because it's educational. It teaches you something that's been lost through the past, through I would say systemic racism and systemic just they don't want you to know these things. They don't want you to know what you have as options. They don't want you to know that people have stood up to them. So just keep that in mind, and we'll get through this together. So we'll each help each other cross that finish line. And Austin, Polly, and Andrea, thank you for being on today's episode. And we will be speaking again. And Polly, I know your mic's not working. I hope you can hear me. Thank you very much. And we're going to get you working up and running for the next one. So you guys all have a wonderful day. And thank you for listening. You all have a wonderful day. Stay safe out there.